The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I tell you, it's been an exciting week since the last time we met. Has it been an exciting week for anybody? Anything happen to anybody that, like, you know, was of the Lord this week? We found out something really special this week, by the way. Upcoming in November, there's going to be a special concert that they're planning in the Slidell Auditorium for the youth of Slidell. And I'm not going to give too many details, but it's going to be big. And it's going to be music. And it's going to be a time where the youth are really centered in on where we can minister to our youth here. So that's coming in November. We found out about the news about this past week. And let's just say it's going to be something that if the youth participate, there could be a real change in our community. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, something that's going to take place with music, and because music is such a big thing in our culture these days. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, anything that you guys want to say? I know somebody had a birthday yesterday.
Yeah,
my birthday. Happy birthday, Evans.
You know what I learned? It's better to have friends and family than riches.
Wow. Yeah. Amen. Somebody was listening to the sermon last week. And I'm going to touch a little bit more on that this week, by the way. Welcome, everyone. Let me open up in prayer, and then we'll go ahead and we'll start singing our praise. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this day, this 12th day of June, the year 2022. We're into the 20th century, the 21st century in such a way, dear God, that we know that we're glorifying you today. We want to sing praise. We want to worship you, dear God. We want to be worshipers. We want to be people of prayer like we've never been before. Father, thank you, dear God, that you enlighten us with a flame of joy that the world can't take away, but that we carry into the world that says that we are making a difference because of Jesus Christ touching each of our lives. We pray, Lord, that that flame arises in our hearts as we worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen. They know the presence of God and they know what's not the presence of God. That's important when you're worshiping. You know, I remember I used to play the drums. And I was in a worship service one time. And this worship service turned into a big performance. It turned into something that wasn't really glorifying God. And I was playing the drums, and I was trying to bring correction while playing the drums to the musicians, like, hey, this isn't all what it's about. Y'all are putting on a show, and I'm here to stop this and say, we need to worship God. This is a show. And they just turned around, looked at me, and laughed. And I said, okay. Instructor Dave's going to have a little meeting with this group after we're finished today. And I did. And I realized that certain things are downloaded into us from our parents and from our spiritual authority. And I wondered, and I said, why do I have this urge in me to correct our group here? And I realized it came from my dad. My dad was a worshiper, and he worshiped. And he knew what worship was, and he knew what entertainment was. And that came from my dad. That download into me came from my dad. And I realized, you know, when we worship him in spirit and in truth, things begin to change. But if it's all about entertainment, then that's all it is. It's just a show. And, you know, God's working the show out of us in America because we love entertainment. And we drag it into the church. And God's like, no, that's not my place. My place is a time to worship and lift my name. And I just appreciate people that know how to lead in worship and praise. and that put aside our flesh and say, it's time to worship. And when that happens, things begin to change. Physical changes begin to happen. Healings begin to happen. Words of encouragement come forth. And the power of God is displayed. Amen? All right. Well, before I start speaking, I just want to thank everybody for showing today. And folks that are tuning in, you might be tuning in by means of social media. I want to give a short testimony. You know, when we're worshiping, sometimes I take pictures. You might say, what's Dave doing taking a picture when we're worshiping? Well, I took a picture of our worship song today and one of the phrases, and it says this. I got to break my glasses out in order to see it. Let me get that for you once again. And it says this in one of the songs we were worshiping with today. Ro and Becky, I appreciate it all. And I'm trying to enlarge this. And I'm looking and it says this. I can't even read that.
Can you read that for me, Grace? I can't read it.
All of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands. All of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands.
You can hold it there. I don't need it anymore.
When we sang that phrase today in worship, it took me back to when I was 22 years old. Let me tell you a quick short story. I'd graduated from Bible school, and I thought, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to get out there and do the call of evangelism on my life. And I was hired by somebody right out of college, right out of Bible school, to work with a man that went across America teaching on business and doing business seminars. And wouldn't you know, wow, I was hired to help him sell tickets to his seminars where he brought in big names, 2 or 3 day seminars. And the big names were people like entertainers and government leaders and so forth. And right out there in New Orleans East was a business, and the name of the business was called Global Achievers. And I was hired to help this young man who was very well known promote his seminars. And I thought, okay, this is it. This is where the Lord wants me. Well, wouldn't you know, that business grew and grew, and seminars, I had to set seminars up in different cities. I didn't even know I had a gift of administration at that time, and I was really learning how to do it. And the time came for the owners of the business to say, you know, we can't operate properly here in New Orleans. People don't, they joke around here too much. We want to move to another city. So they up and moved to a city called Tampa, Florida, and their business exploded. Then they were known at that time in the 90s as the biggest business seminar in America. And here I am, because I wouldn't go move to Tampa, Florida, in New Orleans, wondering, well, where do I fit in anymore? They even asked me to go and move with them to Tampa, Florida, this wonderful businessman and his wife. And I thought, well, I'm not going. I don't think I should go. So the next thing I find myself is working in a grocery store stocking shelves. So all my ambition was like, I'm going to do something great now out of Bible school, and here we go. And God says, I got some more things for you to do. You need to go back to stocking shelves in a grocery store. And my pride was like, phew. And God's like, don't you get it? It's all about your pride. You're not going to go anywhere and be used of me until that pride is gone. Or at least diminished some. You need to kill that thing. And so for years after that, it was trial after trial after trial. And I thought, okay, here comes my shot. God's got something for me to do. And then again, I'd be humble and I'd be like, oh man, what is wrong with me? And God's like, I love you. And I'm promising that you are going to make it to the place I've called you. But you got pride and you need to get that pride out of you. Well, guess what? I finally made it. And I'm not saying I'm all that. What I'm saying is I finally made it to where he's called me to be. Does that mean some pride has been removed? That's what it means. It means some pride's finally been removed. And I get to do now. Now I get to do. Not I, you know, am all about that. No, it's all about me saying and surrendering and saying, God, how are you going to use me? Please show me how. And that is when we rid ourselves of our self-ambition and he can really use us. Amen? I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir. I know some of you have probably gone through some of the same things I've gone through too. But what a wonderful place it is to arise to the place where you know God's finally using you. And for his purposes and his gain and not our selfish ambition. Amen? Okay. I'm going to give you this. And I'm going to give you this. Please. Come on up. And Brother Jim's going to read a scripture here. Can you do it, sir?
I hope so. If I can.
I couldn't read it last time, but I think you'll be able to.
He put it in nice big print.
Okay.
A word from Pastor Morris.
A word from Pastor Morris.
Yes, sir.
He says, to read this to the church this morning. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ,
yes,
set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. Colossians 3, 1 and 4. 1 through 4. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. And we thank you, Pastor Morris, who is not with us today, he and Pat. By the way, if you're watching, thank you for that word, Pastor Morris. And we honor you today. We honor Pat. And we're praying for you as you're on your trip there. And we pray that God uses you tremendously. And pray for us. Pray for us, Pastor. Thank you for what you're doing. Wonderful. Look forward to seeing you now, Pastor Morris. Amen. God in his goodness, and thank God for that word. Picking up from where I started last week. How many of you remember what I spoke on last week? Hey, last week I spoke on the dangers of wealth. This week I'm going to speak about something a little bit more positive concerning wealth. And why wealth and why prosperity, Dave? Other than God speaking and saying, Dave, do it. That's the only reason I need to have this given subject. Because literally, folks, I don't really like speaking about this. Okay? But I'm going to do it because I felt like the Holy Spirit said to do so. Amen? And I do believe that when it comes to wealth and to prosperity, that's where we need to be. But it's really our perspective of it. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. Here we are. We're on part two. And what we're going to speak about is biblical principles of prosperity today. Okay? And I'm going to read something here. We will look at some of the positive things that the Bible says about money, abundance, and prosperity. For example, and everybody knows this, cars that we drive are dangerous, but that doesn't mean we should what? Stop driving and walk everywhere, especially at our age, right? We need cars. It simply means that we need to obey the traffic rules and of the road. In the same way, the proper response to the dangers of money is not to be intentionally poor, right? We don't want that. But to handle the money God gives us according to his principles. And one thing that I know is that my mother taught me to tithe. And this isn't about tithing. But I'll tell you this. From my young age, I've tithed. Thank you, Lord. And I've never stopped. I've never gone without. Ever. God has always supplied my needs. I have never gone in want. And I say that because I know that what Jesus said when he said, don't worry about what you should eat or drink or how you should be clothed. These are the things that the heathen or the Gentiles seek after. He's promised that to us as born-again believers. Don't worry. Even in trials, even in great trials, he says, don't worry about where your food's coming from, your drink, your clothes, everything that's needed, because God's going to take care of us. And there are days that are coming that are going to shake us, but we still have to remember God's going to take care of our needs in these days of shaking that are coming. Okay? All right. Number one, and I've got about three things to say to you today. The first one is, and I think we all know the answer to this. Number one, who gives us the ability to produce wealth? It's God, isn't it? He gives us the ability to produce wealth. Moses states here in 8:16, Deuteronomy 8:16 through 20. It's a little long read, but let's read it. It says, in the wilderness, Moses is speaking. He says, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and my strength of my hand made me this wealth. Sounds a bit arrogant, doesn't it? But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I will testify against you today that you shall surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you. You shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. You hear the back and forth about blessings that God talks to Israel about. It's always been back and forth, meaning if you do this, then I will do this. But if you don't do this, then I can't bless you. And it still remains true today for Israel, just as much as it does for us. We are a blessed nation. We are a tremendously blessed nation. We don't even know our wealth until you believe and you go out there and you see, oh, I'm not in America anymore. And boy, we are blessed back home. We truly are. We don't realize until we go into a third world country and start seeing the poverty, just how blessed we are. But yet, it's all a perspective, isn't it? It truly is. Our country and our universities, they teach us to idolize money. It's just the way it is. I was taught as a young kid, you go to college, you get a degree, and then you make money. It's like what you do. I remember that philosophy. And you know what? To a certain degree, there's nothing wrong with that because it brings about responsibility. But what happens when you start gaining wealth? What are we to do with it all? What are we to do with it?
Give it away.
I heard that. Miss Rose said we ought to give it away. Sounds like what the scripture says to me. Sounds like where the correct frame of thought is to what God is saying that we should do. Amen? We're abundantly blessed. Abundantly. Abundantly. Hallelujah. You know, this past week, Grace and I had the opportunity to get on the Zoom meeting with our friends in Uganda. Had an amazing time of about an hour and a half. It was 2 a.m. when we got on the phone, on the computer. It was 10 a.m. there. There was a gathering of many pastors, and they asked us to speak. And before we began to speak, we worshiped. I loved it. Here we are sitting down, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Their screen is looking at us, and our screen is looking at them. And they are all gathered together, our Ugandan friends, and they're praising and worshiping. And they're singing, and they're dancing. And Grace and I are seated at our chairs, and we're going like this, and we're moving like this, and we're having a worship time at the same time that people are worshiping 5,000 miles away, 8 hours ahead of us. we can worship the Lord at any time, and it truly is amazing. But I see, as we were worshiping, what our priority is. Our priority was to worship God at that moment and then to speak later. Amazing, amazing. So what does that have to do with abundance? Well, we saw the abundance of praise and worship going on, and we wanted to snuggle on in there and do our part, and we did. It's a wonderful thing. Amen? Okay, let's go to number two here. It says, what did Moses tell the Israelites God would do for them if they obeyed his commands? And what did he say? He said God would abundantly prosper Israel, but it came with conditions. Nobody likes conditions. We don't like, do we like conditions? We just want to do what we want without conditions, don't we? But mom and dad taught us at some point in life, or grandma and grandpa, you can have this, but you have to do this. Or we're taught conditions when we go to work. You can have this amount of money being allotted to you at the end of the week or at the end of the 2 weeks or a month, but you have to perform and do these duties. There's always conditions for something being given to you. Whether it's a good thing or whether it's a bad thing, you always having to do something for funds or for prosperity. And in this case, God's saying it's going to be conditional again. So in Deuteronomy 30, verses 8 through 10, hear God speaking again, and he says this, and you shall again obey the Lord and observe all his commandments, which I command you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your cattle, and in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in his book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Wow. And the founding of this great nation, there were a lot of mistakes made. But finally, there came a point when the forefathers said, we're going to do it the biblical way. We're going to do it God's way. We're going to learn to govern God's way. And they did. They came up with a plan with so much of it based on Scripture, called the Constitution, and many other things, many other documents. And these documents were what? They were mostly based on the Scriptures. They go back to the Scriptures, the Holy Bible. And so, thus we are blessed, and we are prosperous. And there's things that we're called to do as a nation, thank God, but then there are things that we're called to do as individuals as well. And God longs to prosper us, but there are conditions. I want to speak a few more of these scriptures out to you. Sometimes we just need to hear scripture read. Amen? Amen. Let's look at these reminders of God's prosperity. The first one's Proverbs 10:3. The Lord will not allow, come on, the righteous to hunger, but he will thrust aside or thwart the craving of the wicked. Why are people that are wicked always striving? It's like nothing's good enough. That's what the scripture says. Always striving, always never satisfied, no contentment whatsoever. It's always a strive for. That means there's some wickedness somewhere. That means there's some pride. That means there's some ambition there that can't be comforted. But the Bible says, on the other hand, the Lord will allow the righteous not to hunger. He won't allow the righteous to hunger. Second, Proverbs 10:4 says, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. The hand of the diligent makes rich. If you look back at the scripture I just read out of Deuteronomy 30, it says that God would bless and prosper abundantly in the work of your hand. Handouts are not necessarily good for us. Sometimes we need them, but we can't live off of handouts. God's not going to bless that. He will bless the abundant He'll bless abundantly the work of your hand as you do these things. Amen? He doesn't bless laziness. He doesn't bless negligence. He blesses those that work with your hands, and it proves it time after time after time as to how God blesses by the working of our hands. Proverbs 10:22. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. No sorrow comes when the Lord blesses us with riches. Proverbs 13:21. Adversity pursues, comes after sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. Isn't that a great promise? If we're living a righteous life, there's going to be something to show for it. And it's usually prosperity. But prosperity is not just funds. It's good health. It's the ability to speak, the ability to communicate, the ability to love others. That's what prosperity is. Money's just a byproduct. Truly it is. Amen? Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren. And the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. I could do a whole sermon on just that. About the wealth of the sinner being stored up for the righteous. Because folks, I said it last week and I'll say it again. There is a storing up right now, even though it looks very grim about the American economy, or really the whole world economy. But I'm telling you, by faith, that God is turning the wealth of the wicked over to the righteous. Sooner or later, we're going to see it. And will it be for us to take? And I say us. I want to be one of the righteous. Is it for us to take that and live flamboyantly? No. It's for us to take that, those funds, when they come, and do what with them? Give them out and help fund the gospel of the kingdom in the world. That's what needs to be done when those funds are turned over to people that are saying it's all about Christ being acknowledged in the world. The Bible says that the promise of the Lord is going to cover the oceans like the waters covers the sea. Is that right? We want to see that happen as much as we possibly can in our lifetime. Is that right? All right, Proverbs 21:21. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. He who pursues righteousness. Wow. A byproduct of one who pursues righteousness is also righteousness and honor. Amen. Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. That means we got to remain humble, doesn't it, folks? Oh! Sometimes it's like, oh, you hear these people speaking on the radio, and they're saying, I'm telling you, life is getting bad. And it's getting bad. And I could name some names of some folks that speak on the radio, and they are speaking the truth, but it's like one thing after the next. This one's saying, our economy's going down the pits, and this one's saying, our leadership is going down, and it's going awry. And yeah, a lot of that's true. But yet, when we infiltrate our mind day after day with that type of thought, it's like these TV announcers and radio announcers that are bringing the truth out, but that are sitting behind desks all day and saying all these negative things, they become a bit cynical. I've listened to some of them, and maybe you have too, and it's like, wow, okay, enough already. Is there anything else that's good that you want to say? Because, you know, we need to hear the good news. We hear the reality of things, and it might not be so pleasant, but we need to hear the good news. And that's where we come in, folks. That's where we come in. There's enough craziness being displayed out there. But man, what did Jesus do? He came. And what did he do? He said, I know there's a Roman stronghold all over this place. And the government's cracking down. And it looks bad for all the Jewish people and really anybody that's over Roman rule. They crucify people. Things are bad. Justice is totally out of whack. And I've got the religious people on my back. And I know that I got to go to that cross one day, but yet before I get there, I'm going to proclaim what is called the kingdom of God, as we were singing earlier. And what did that include? It meant that he was outspreading good news. Good news despite all that we hear. And I'm just here to remind you today, let's talk about the good news. Yes, we do have to sometimes talk about that other stuff, but let what the word predominantly come out of your mouth be is that it's the good news that we're here to proclaim. We're to pray for people. We're to lay hands on people. We're to see His kingdom enacted and working through us. Amen? We want to see that happen so bad. We got to keep it up. We got to keep speaking life and truth. He's relying on us to do it. He's relying on us to do it. Let's keep doing it. Amen? One more scripture. It's not up there, I don't think. It's Proverbs 22:9, and it says this: He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Not all of it, just some of it. Right? Grace and I have our ways about how we give, and sometimes I want to give a little too much, and she's there to help me to get things right. Speaking about this thing with being generous and the giving food, we work sometimes with some of the restaurants here in Slidell. Do you know that some restaurants here in Slidell are generous with the food they don't use? And I'm just going to go ahead and name one of them. The Olive Garden here in Slidell gives away on food that's not eaten at the restaurant, and they freeze it, and we go on Fridays, collect it, and bring it to a place where it's frozen, and then it's distributed to the New Orleans Mission and places where men and women are being rehabilitated and going through rehab. And do you know there are other restaurants here that do that? And we're so grateful because they don't give away all their food, but they give away some of their food. And God continues to bless their business. There is story after story after story, which I know each of you could come up and talk about some business or some entity that gives out and that is prospering, even in this economy that we see taking place. Amen? Generosity means giving out at all times. Sometimes we cut back when we see that our funds are being cut back, but nonetheless, we still give. Sometimes you got to give a little less, but you still give. And then sometimes, in the middle, even of giving, we give more. So it's all that depends on what we do and what God directs us to do. Amen? All right, we're cracking down here. We're getting to the end. So why does God make people rich? Number three. So that what? They will be a blessing to others. Wow. Have we seen that in this nation or what? We have seen major companies like Westinghouse and GE and these old companies that you may know of from years ago. Hobby Lobby. Places like this where the owners of these great American businesses give away most of the profit. Chick-fil-A. Wow. An amazing, amazing business. The one here locally. Did you know that our amazing Chick-fil-A in our city is managed and owned and run by a youth pastor? He is a youth pastor of one of our churches here in Slidell. No wonder. No wonder the prosperity continues. And I say that in an amazingly thankful way. But we have an amazing city. We have an amazing parish. Great things are happening. And we're watching generosity go forth, not only to our community, but to our local place and around the world. Sometimes you go, Lord, with all the craziness going on in the world and with what America's doing, with what takes place, with the great sin that we're doing in this nation. And it's like you look up in heaven and you go, God's, how do you balance this? You've got all our sins over here on this part of the scale, and then you've got what we do good on this part of the scale. And of course, what I'm speaking about is a little bit of Old Testament, I guess you could say, other than the grace of God through Christ. And you look and you go, what gives? We've done all this, all these great things, but yet we're doing some really crazy stuff. We're aborting children, which hopefully will come to an end. We're doing other things. We're exporting, like the book of Revelation says, we're exporting the wine and the adultery. And it's like, what gives here, God? Is there a day that you're going to say, that's it? That our blessings are less than our cursings? It's all up to God. And we say we want revival in our land. And we do. And I really believe God's saying, maybe one day you'll get revival, but you're not dead yet. I raise from the dead what's dead. Revive means to take up which is dead. And perhaps we're not dead enough. Perhaps we've not said, it's all about you, Lord, enough. And maybe those scales are going like this. And God's saying, you just keep talking about revival, America, and all your churches. You keep talking about it, but you're not dead enough. You're not dead enough. It's still all about you and your entertainment. It's still all about you and all your wealth. It's still about you and all your security and money. Ooh. So where do we stand? Only the Holy God knows where we truly stand. How much longer is God going to put up with our foolishness? And I say ours. I don't want to identify with abortion. I don't want to identify with all the craziness going on, but we live here. There's something of responsibility that we have to take for this. But God stands there, and there's scales going back and forth. This couple nights ago, Grace and I were getting ready to go to bed, and we pulled up a video, and David Wilkerson was speaking. And David Wilkerson, how many of you know David Wilkerson? He was a prophet sent by the Lord to preach to this nation. He didn't call himself a prophet, but he was a prophet. He was a pastor. He was an evangelist. But when he began to preach, either you liked him or you didn't like him, because he said it like it was, plainly. And in this particular 20-minute talk, he spoke about Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened in the scriptures, and how way back in the Old Testament, God said, I'm going to judge this evil city, Sodom and Gomorrah. And he began to explain how fire and brimstone was going to come from heaven and burn up a place where people had lost their minds. But before he was going to do that, he was going to warn those that if any people were righteous in that city, to leave. So Abraham was the intercessor, and Abraham prayed for his nephew, Lot, to get out. And Lot, by that time, had gone kind of crazy. Let's just say it like it was. You know, biblical characters, they're kind of crazy. And thank God they get revived. They come out of their craziness. Well, Lot came out of his craziness finally and left with his wife and two daughters, because God was getting ready to send down fire. But God used two angels, and two messengers came down to that city and warned them. The city was so wicked. The city was so wicked that the men of the city saw these two messengers, and they longed to have sexual relations with these angels or these two men. And when they did, the angels struck them with blindness. And so the men of the city were like, oh, we can't see, we can't see. And even in their blindness, they continued to pursue these men for relations' sake. That's the reason why God had to send the fire down. Sometimes we don't understand the Old Testament and why it says what it says. This city was a city, Sodom and Gomorrah, filled with riches and wealth and amazingly perverse and evil people. And God says they need to go. We can't look back at that and think, how could God do something like this? Because we are American gracious people. It's so hard for us to think that God would send down fire on a group of people and that they burn up. But it actually happened. Take that experience and bring it to today. What is God saying today? Even with a nation that was founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, are we headed in that direction? Is our wealth so that we are like, I don't need God, I can take care of myself? Well, look what happens when people do that. Look what happens when a nation says, we don't need you, Lord. Then violence breaks out. And sexual perversion of all kinds breaks out. And idolatry breaks out against the true and living God that created us. And it's a sad state of affairs. And then here we have that balance again. And God's saying, I remember your good deeds, America. Or I remember your good deeds, whatever country he may be dealing with. But you're getting too close to the edge. You're getting too close to the edge. And so today, as one of the things that I brought forth last week as far as the dangers of wealth, we talked about today the prosperity part. And to just get things into right perspective, let's take what God's given us and use it for the correct purposes. Amen? Let's take what God has given us and use it. Let me bring up the scripture here. 2 Corinthians 9, 10 and 11 in the New Testament. We spoke about all Old Testament. Let's look at the New Testament. Paul says, Paul speaking of God, he says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Basically, what he's saying here is that people are thankful when God's people start giving. Isn't it amazing? It is so amazing how people that are onlooking and not much into God or the scriptures or born again will still thank God when they're in dire needs and the people of God are giving. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. Finally, my last statement. When talking about prosperity, the question is not, will God prosper me? The question is, what will I do with God's abundant provision? We've been given abundantly, and I'm here to remind you of that again today. If you've got a house, if you've got a car, and the house isn't leaking with water from the roof, you know you're really doing well. If you've got food in your cabinets, even if it's just a couple cans, you're still doing really good. Ooh, we don't like hearing that. If you're a little 12-year-old, maybe 10-year-old little girl or boy living in the United States, and all you have is a quarter, okay, and your parents are taking care of you, that little girl or that little boy is still more wealthy than most people in the world, without a job, dependent on her parents to take care of her, but just with a quarter. A U.S. quarter is still more wealthy than most people in the world. Is that hard to believe? But it's true. That little young person, without a job, they don't even have anything coming in, but their parents are taking care of them. Still more wealthy than most people. So there is reason to rejoice and to thank God for what he's done for us. He has so prospered us. And I'm just here to remind you of that today. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our hearts. Thank you, God, for your prosperity upon our lives. But Lord, what we're saying is help us to get our priorities right. Sometimes we just need to be tapped on the head or spoken to at night or maybe woken up in a dream and you're speaking to us and you're saying, I think you need to do this or I think you need to do that. And Lord, when we line up with you, we thank you for what takes place when we say yes and when we obey. We thank you that even though it's conditional, that your blessings, like the scripture says, are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So Father, today, may this lesson touch our hearts. Lord, may it be a time of reflection as to your prosperity and what you've given to us as we take it to heart today in Jesus' name. Got a little video I want to show you. I showed you one last week. Let's take a look at one more. And then I'll get up and we'll rejoice a little bit and end the service, okay?
Thank you.
If you will. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, dear God, that you're the one that fills our cup. It's not this world, dear God, it's you. And we just want to proclaim that today, dear God. As you have blessed us, as you have favored us, as you have said that as we have sacrificed our life to you, you so graciously poured out to us. So we say, Father, fill our cup with what you want it filled with, so that we may take what you've given us and give it out, Lord, whether it be the gospel, whether it be funds, whether it be what have you, dear God. an overflow. May it be ours today. An overflow, dear God, in order that we might take it and give forth, Lord. You said it is better to give than to receive. Father, we believe that. We believe that. Touch us. Strengthen us today. May your name be glorified in Jesus' name. If you're tuning in today by social media, you may be wondering about what is this all about prosperity. Well, let me tell you, the only way to prosper is to become humble and to say, God, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you in my heart. Father, I thank you that you have overseen the lives of all the people that are viewing and watching today. And I say in Jesus' name, touch the lives, touch the hearts. But we got to be willing to humble ourselves. And I say in Jesus' name, wherever you are, if you're watching what's taking place, be willing to humble yourself and say, I've come to the end of my road and I need Jesus. I need this one that he was just singing about to fill my cup. And when we come to the end of ourselves and we say, no longer my will, but your will be done in my life, then there's a change. There's a change that takes place. May that change take place in the hearts of many today. And as he humbles you, as you humble yourself, kneel down and pray to him. It's a good thing to pray. It's a good thing to communicate with the Lord Jesus and say, Father, take my broken life. Take my even my destroyed life that I did. I broke this. Can you take it and make something of it? And Lord, your word says that you are faithful and just, and you're going to forgive us of all our sins, and you're going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, like the scripture says. Be willing right now to receive that righteousness into your heart. And be willing to say, I'm humbling myself, I'm giving my all. And as that takes place, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the life-changing Holy Spirit that comes in and removes that sin. Because Jesus died on a cross and he was raised. And I believe that. It's not a fairy tale. It's not religion. It happened. It was truly happening. And it happened for my sake, in order that I might know God, in order that I might be saved, in order that my sins might be taken away from me, and that I might live this life for God and live it abundantly. Touch lives today, dear God, that are in that condition, in Jesus' name. And touch the lives of the people here gathered today. Touch our backs. Touch our joints. Heal our bodies. Heal our minds, dear God, as we thank you, as we rejoice in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. You're dismissed. And have an amazing, wonderful week in Jesus' name.